Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers.
On this episode, we've got the reveal of a new Titan figure for the Transformers Legacy line, a new movie masterpiece figure is coming soon, and Jeremy gives us a scoop on the recent online roundtable Hasbro designers did with Transformers fan sites like ours. Today is Wednesday, April 27th, 2022, and this is episode 483 of Transmissions. Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that would be pleased to offer Disney special status if they'd like to sponsor this show. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, let's talk Transformers.
As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. We really appreciate all the help you give us and help, and you're the reason we help to have the keep the show going after almost 9 years. So thank you so much for helping us out. And this week, for all of you fans of Empire of Rust, our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, we've got episode 74, Wild Ones, a Khan clone story. And this just came out this Monday, April 25th, so it should already be in your feed, in your podcast feed, if you haven't heard it yet. So you can listen right now. If you want to get it directly, it's at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. And next week, we will have the Toy Hacks drawing. So you've got another week until next Sunday, May 1st, to send in your entry. So you can either become a Donatron. That's the easiest way to enter. You'll get automatically entered into the drawing. Or you can send us an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com with a picture of a Transformer toy you'd like to get some stickers for. And so you get entered into the drawing, and we will draw for a $10 gift code from Toy Hacks. So send in your entries or become a Donatron. All right, let's jump into some toy news.
All right, first up this week, I think it was Tuesday that
it was another Transformers Tuesday.
Was another Transformers Tuesday. Yes, that's right. So we got some reveals that they're official, and we had known about it from before because we got some kind of blurry leaked pics about this, but this was not talked about during the Transformers Tuesday last week, but we got the official leak, or the official images of Transformers Legacy Titan Cybertron Metroplex. And this is the next Titan released in the line, and it's a big one. And this is a great looking figure in regards to it's the figure that is that is its namesake, I guess, Cybertron Metroplex. So if you've got a Metroplex from the Cybertron line, you'll know it's a figure that's doesn't really look like G1 Metroplex. So if you're kind of looking at this and saying, oh yeah, Titan Metroplex, yeah, take a look at the pictures, because this is not the Metroplex you're looking for. You've got a I guess he becomes some kind of a construction vehicle with a digger, kind of a I don't know what the official name of this construction vehicle is, but it is a real world kind of construction equipment with some kind of like a, it looks kind of like a ground saw. It's kind of odd, but it does, you know, you do see them out in like mines and stuff like that. It's, and then there's a,
it's an excavator.
Oh, it's a big frickin' excavator, dude. Yeah. But if that's the technical term and what they've busted it down to.
That's the term they're using.
Okay. Cause excavators are something you get see around the city while, you drive around, during construction season. But either way, this is Cybertron Metroplex, and it is the next Titan released in the main line. So I'm going to open it up because, Jeremy, I know you love the Cybertron line, and you are probably, you know, pretty primed to get Cybertron Metroplex, eh?
Not really. I don't know. I don't know if I have any Cybertron toys at all. I have to go back and look. But, I mean, this is impressive. The size is really amazing. on the Hasbro call that I'll talk about in a little bit, they showed off this and just kind of the scale next to an adult human is just, I mean, this is a big figure. And then the kind of weapon that the excavator piece that comes off, it's like the size where like a young child, like 5 to 8 years old, could probably run around and just use that as a toy to play with. You know, it's like in scale for a young human to as a toy, to like go and dig around in the sandbox and stuff. So, you know, it for those people that are bigger fans of Cybertron than I am, you know, I'm this is great. I appreciate that it looks more like G1 Metroplex and the paint apps and everything, but I don't know. I have no desire for this particular Titan. You know, if they were to re-release the one from a few years ago in even in like Metro Titan colors, I would have been excited for that because I missed out on the original Titan Metroplex. But I have very little desire for Cybertron toys.
All right. I have a feeling a lot of people are feeling the same way as you are. I know that a lot of responses online were, it's not the Metroplex that I wanted, but, you know, I'll probably still get it kind of thing.
I mean,
but
Universe was, you know, a particular era's G1. So, I mean, yeah. I'm sure people that grew up, or not Universe, the Unicron Trilogy. So people that grew up on the Unicron Trilogy as their introduction to Transformers are probably jacked for this, and I'm happy for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, now Charles, I believe you did specifically state when these pictures were released that, man, I am jacked for this. I think that is where your exact words.
Well, you know, I was already 45 when the Unicron Trilogy came out, so you know, I was outside the primary demographic there. So, you know,
right.
This, I mean, yeah, this, so I actually looked it up on Wiki on the TF Wiki. The original Metroplex toy came out in 2005. So that's, 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So if you were 10 in 2005, you're 27 now. You've probably got some, you know, you're fresh out of college. Maybe you're single. You've probably got some good disposable income. If you're still a fan of Transformers and buying Transformers, here it is for you. Yeah. I mean, it's not for me. I recognize that I'm at the other end of the Transformers fandom. So, you know, these things are not necessarily going to interest me always. So I'm fine with that. I was never a big fan of the Unicron Trilogy in general. You know, I think the Armada toys were the ones that I was most interested in, but the later Energon and Cybertron toys, just I had very little interest in. So, yeah. That's just how it is, but I'm sure there are lots of folks out there who will enjoy this. And yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is I mean, we see the ever increasing prices of the toys. I mean, this Titan is now coming in at $200, which, was Scorponok last year? I think was Scorponok still like 150, 160?
I think so, there was a slight increase for, Scorponok. But cause Scorponok wasn't the last one. We got the Ark was the last one.
Oh, the Ark. That's right.
Yeah.
The Ark was like 180, 170.
Yeah. Right? So I think we've been getting slight increases, since, maybe Scorponok or perhaps, whoever the last one was, Omega Supreme might've been the one since mm-hmm. that was last at 159. So yeah. We've been getting smaller increments. But I do remember the Ark. People saying that they did notice an increase in price at that point. Now, this one here is drawing a lot of attention to its price point. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Does it come with the Minicon too?
No.
That is not happening.
No Minicon ports.
Yeah. No.
I wouldn't put it past them doing like what they did with the G1 Metroplex with like later on releasing figures that are kind of meant to pair with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of my theory, and that it is something like a the weaponizers. They kind of put those out later on in lines.
Yeah, I mean that's disappointing. Like you're increasing the price, but you're not packing in all the stuff that the original you know, you're basing it on this original figure that did come with a, I mean, all these Titan figures have come with little partner figures, like the Ark had the mainframe figure. Scorponok did have the maybe I'm thinking of Triptychon had the Full Tilt figure.
Yeah,
I guess Scorponok had didn't.
One. Yeah, Scorponok
had the Headmaster. Well. Yeah, so
no, he also had. He also had the other guy too. What the hell is his name? But he had one too.
Yeah, but you had to buy them separately, didn't you?
Yeah, that's the whole point. Is all these guys have they have a separate figure that you can get in the line later.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the Titans also usually come with one packed in too. Like the Triptychon had the Full Tilt figure packed in the little, you know, car.
Okay, and then you could buy the
and Scorponok had the double Headmaster.
Omega Supreme, he came with a mini con.
Yeah,
but the two combiners, they didn't come with anything.
Yeah, but they're combiners, so you know you've got. 5 or 6 toys that turn into one toy. So, you know,
it's true.
So what I'm saying is there should have been some budget for including a mini con with this figure,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're raising the price.
Yeah.
That's you're all I'm expecting
saying. Them to find budget for like a $18 to $20 figure on something that costs $200. That's asking a lot. I'm sure this is every bit of that $200 is going into that toy.
Well, I mean, that's the retail value. I don't think that's their production costs.
I know. It was sarcasm.
Sorry, my sarcasm detector is broken.
But yeah, so, you know, this is pretty cool. It's out. It's coming out anyway. And if people have nostalgia for the Cybertron line, then they can get the next Titan. And you know, maybe if you don't have nostalgia for the Cybertron line, you can still get the next Titan. You know, for myself, I really never liked this Titan or this character, the Cybertron Metroplex. I've seen him, you know, in the comic shop that I part time at a couple times. He's come in and gone out a few times, and he's fine. Yeah, you know, he seems to transform. You know, yes, it's a quote unquote excavator or whatever the hell you want to call it. You know, the mode that you're able to transform him into here, it essentially looks like a brick. He transforms into a big giant rectangle, and then they stick a couple pieces to hang off him to, you know, to make the shape that he's supposed to be. But yeah, all in all, he's you know, at least this version of him, the Titan, is going to be more articulated, because the Cybertron version is pretty brickish. But that's it. That's all I got to bring to the show this week. Jeremy, you were busy this week. What did you do?
Well, we were invited this week to be part of the Transformers brand team roundtable that they did. That they've been doing now for, I guess, the last couple of years. And it was awesome to kind of be on that invite list. And it was a lot of fun. It's kind of interesting seeing the brand team. Like they during the Fan First Tuesday streams and stuff, it's, you know, all strictly on point marketing is driving it and stuff. And here the people that actually design the toys are taking center stage, and they seem a lot more relaxed because they kind of know that we aren't going to ask any gotcha questions. And, you know, no one really tries to, well, I guess we all try to kind of get them to give a little bit more than they're really supposed to, but it's in a, you know, a friendly way. And I thought a lot of the questions here were really good. And I'm going to run through a few of them. See, it started with the asking about legacy and like whether all of the other Transformer universes included are going to be, if they're considered sublines. And legacy is the line. There are no sublines there. And then someone else asked about the sales a little bit later, and they said that Legacy Wave 1 has blown away Siege pre-orders. So cool. That's got to feel good for them. Someone asked about the limbs for the combiner for Minasaur being split across different waves and, you know, being hard to find some of the early limbs, you know, if you're coming into this later on. And they said that a box set like what was done with Devastator is not out of the question. So
that would be, you know, so expensive with the centerpiece being a commander.
Yeah, I mean, it will be, but, you know, it's good that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me a question, Daryl, that I was able to ask about yellowing in the figures. And I really wasn't aware of this, so thanks for, you know, getting me to ask it.
No problem.
Because they are aware of it. They've been sent many pictures on social media about these with specific figures where it's happening, and they were very appreciative that, you know, that they're able to get that information, because it's really helped them in their researching of this issue. So they know it exists. They have seen it, but unfortunately, because of the pandemic, they have not been able to go to Asia to do quality checks. And I think they said that they've had some new companies come in, I think, on the plastic side of things. And it doesn't seem like it's really the UV that's the problem. I can't remember. I think it was Sam. I don't know. One of the Hasbro team mentioned that, you know, they obviously haven't been in their office for a long time. And they had a Stormtrooper helmet sitting on the desk. And when they came in, the UV from the window didn't affect it at all. But when they looked at the bottom of it, the fluorescent lights from his display cabinet had yellowed the bottom of the Stormtrooper helmet. So it seems like it's more fluorescence than ultraviolet, or, you know, I'm not sure if there's like ultraviolet in the fluorescent light or whatever, but it seems to be triggered by whatever's in the fluorescent lights, but they're still looking into it. I know it's a big concern with things like Victory Saber coming up.
Yep.
But also the G-Axis was one that I mentioned that it's got a lot of white. And they are aware that they have a lot of figures coming up that have a lot of white on it. So we're hoping that they can work that out. But, you know, if anyone does notice it happening to their figures, take pictures, tag these guys on social media. You know, all the information they can get can only help.
Yeah, and it's not the specific designers they want tagged. It's the Transformers, you know, Twitter account, the Hasbro Twitter account. You know, if you have this stuff, those are the accounts that you have to tag, and you can do the same on Facebook and that kind of stuff,
and Instagram
and those, because, you know, you're not going to get the specific designers. You know, I don't think any of them even have social media.
On Instagram, cause we talked a couple weeks ago about some of the design process.
Yeah. But, you can tag those people on those places, because they've talked about it for a few years now, that they do source a lot of their kind of fan reaction from social media through those avenues.
Yeah. And let's see, there was a question about Legacy Blitzwing, about the turret and if it could do a 360 turn, and it can. One of them had a sample in hand and demonstrated it on the screen. So if you were concerned about that, you can do that. When discussing like how a line comes together, they said that they, like, I think Mark was the one that took this, and basically it was like, we all have characters that we're always trying to fit into a line, but they look at kind of the line as a whole and see, they want a balance of, you know, the alt modes, the colors, the what's been done before, what, marketing wants, like the major tier one characters. Takara has their characters that they want, and, you know, you have, like, you know, you want to get in female characters, different body types and stuff like that. So he was just kind of going through everything that goes through when trying to come up with a line, and it's really, you know, everyone just kind of gets their say. And Mark also said that not a meeting goes by that they don't try to get Machine Wars, or they don't bring up Machine Wars. So if Machine Wars is a line that you care about, you know, there's people on the team that are trying to get some figures out. So TFW asked about, you know, why choosing Cybertron Metroplex rather than a G1 figure for the Titan. And he said, or they said that the story for Legacy is all about like mining Energon and stuff. This character mines Energon, and that was kind of the original figure. And then they liked the play pattern, and, you know, these are still for kids, even though it is a $200 figure. So they thought that having, you know, a giant construction vehicle as a toy, you know, would be great for kids. You know, if a parent wants to buy their kid a $200 toy. So they were like, you know, we know that it's likely not the majority, but it does happen. Let's see. Ben Yee asked about the pricing increase. He noted that like the Legacy is about 12 to 18% increase across the line. And they said there won't, they can't say that there won't be more. It's just things in the world. And we don't have it in our list, but I did see something about Hasbro, like next year, there's going to be even more increases, blaming the Russia situation where, you know, they can't sell into Russia. So that's taking a big hit on their, you know, on their bottom line. So we're all going to pay for it with the prices of our figures. There was a question about the new Soundwave that came out. Like, why are they going with the Siege mold versus the Netflix mold? And essentially, it's a Walmart. The Netflix mold is a Walmart exclusive, and there's a timing that goes along with that. So they cannot use that mold for any other use. Walmart could order another run if they wanted to, but Hasbro is kind of limited until that time runs out. They cannot re-release the Netflix mold at all. And I was surprised at how open they were with that, because usually I don't think that would be something that they would really talk about. But you know,
I was really interested to find that out. You know, and it not that it was a surprise to find out that it was exclusive to Walmart through, you know, even to the mold, you know, aspect, but that you know, that it's probably the fact that they were open with that was probably due to the fact that they have been inundated with people asking about a re-release or something like that. And they just wanted to get a little tidbit of information out there, because trying to kind of squash some of the questions.
Yeah. Oh, and it's great to just have that better understanding about how the deals work. But, you know, someone did ask if Walmart wanted to order another run, is that possible? And they're like, sure, yeah, if they want to do it, they have the right to that mold, you know, for that time period.
They won't do it, though.
But, you know, and of course, they didn't tell us what the time period is. You know, that they weren't that open. But, you know, I think we've seen before, wasn't it the Pterosaur mold? It was exclusive, and now it's, I think it was with Amazon, now it's with Target. Or something like that. I think I saw something. Rodimus Primal asked about the issue with like heads being removed from the new style of boxes, and they're like, they're not going to be going back to plastic. Unfortunately, they use closed boxes on their more expensive toys, but they found that with the toys that are actually designed for kids to play with, having it there where the kids can actually see the figure and touch it is a key to people buying it. And they're still trying to figure out how to deal with people stealing the heads. So they're aware. It's just, you know, at least it's not going to be on like the, you know, the leaders and, you know, the bigger figures. Something that we've all been talking about with the Minasaur is those leg ports. And Mark showed off a close picture. They are compatible with Combiner Wars, technically, meaning the Combiner War, you know, leg connector will fit in. It won't be sturdy. And the new ports actually have like a little notch off to the side of each one. So like with the Legacy Minasaur legs, only the left leg will be able to plug into the left leg slot. Only the right leg can go in the right leg slot. Combiner Wars doesn't have that. So you could stick the Combiner Wars legs on there. And he said, it would be good to take some pictures and stuff, but it's not something that he would put on a shelf where it could possibly fall over, which it makes sense. And he, you know, we got a close up shot of what the legs looked like. And yeah, it was pretty clear. So they wanted to make Minasaur, but they didn't go out of their way to make it compatible with Combiner Wars. It's just how it worked. So not something that they can actually call out in the instructions. Let's see, the asking about Evangelist asked about new molds for females in Legacy. Like he was happy with like all the different body types we're getting once more, and then he complimented them about their behind the scenes stuff that they've been posting. So, I don't remember if there was an answer on the female thing, just kind of, you know, they're looking at all different body types and stuff, but yeah, they were really happy to see the behind the scenes stuff getting such positive feedback. And Takara was really happy because like, this is stuff that the Hasbro Transformer team gets excited about when they see like the stuff coming in from Takara, but the Takara team doesn't really feel comfortable sharing it. So when they saw the Hasbro team doing it and they saw the, you know, how people were excited and stuff about it, you know, that hopefully we'll be seeing more of that now that, you know, they're getting the positive feedback from it. Ant from TFU, asked about the ports on the new Metroplex and asking like specifically, I think about Minicon, but just what's on there. They basically said that there's going to be lots of 5mm and 3mm ports. They are still continuing with all of the Titans, the connectors for the road connections. They are keeping that consistent with the other Titans. So, you know, you can connect it to, you know, Omega Supreme and the other Metroplex and everything. But other than that, it's just going to be 3 and 5mm ports. They did look into doing Drillbit, but the pricing, it was just too expensive, but they're not ruling out putting that, putting a drill bit out later. We couldn't really ask about Rise of the Beast stuff, but Kevin from Unicron.com did ask about the movie delay affecting product on shelf. And, you know, they're like, it obviously is not affecting Legacy or any of those lines. Studio series Rise of the Beast stuff wasn't intended to come out at this time anyway. And then they kind of joked around, you know, someone mentioned the Cyberverse stuff and they're like, what? That's just an Optimus Prime. I don't know what you're talking about. Just kind of, you know, kind of laughing about it because everyone knows. So let's see that. I think the last thing, well, someone asked about the Galaxy Unicron Prime that came out, if he can hold the Metroplex, the Cybertron Metroplex weapon, like apparently he did in one episode of the cartoon. And they're not sure. And the guy didn't have a Galaxy Prime on hand to try out. And then I like this was towards the end where we all got one question each. And then kind of at the end, we were all just kind of talking. And I asked about the Shatterglass comic with Magnus, because we were asking about this when it was announced, because it just says, you know, the Magnus is coming with Shatterglass with, you know, a cover from Casey Collier. And apparently it's a new 5-part miniseries continuing the story, which is great because it left off on a cliffhanger. So that was another question I was hoping to get in, because it wasn't clear from any of the marketing materials. So that was the call. It was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, as Daryl, as you said, I Jeremy'd it up and both of the recordings I tried to do didn't work. I got my side of the recording and none of the other side of the call. So.
Wait, repeat that. Both your recordings. You set it up to do a backup.
Well, yeah, I was recording on OBS to, I wanted to get the video for you and Charles to watch. And then I also was recording my audio the audio as a backup, like I'm recording right now as a backup on the show. And because I don't normally do this with Zoom, the pieces weren't there connected right in the recording apps. And I have video with no audio and I have audio of just me. So nothing really useful to anybody. So, oh, well, hopefully they invite us again and I'll have another crack at it.
I'm going to have to set a reminder at that point to remind you about half an hour before to test your audio settings.
Or how about remind you the day before to hop on a Zoom with me and we can test things
out. Okay. Yes. We'll do that then.
All right. So I don't know. You guys have any comments about any of this stuff here you want to talk about?
Well, I just think you did a great job, you know, regardless of fucking it up. So, yeah, you know,
I didn't screw it up in any real important way.
No, you didn't embarrass the podcast, which is something that I strive to do and generally fail at. You did a very good job and you represented us well and asked some pretty good questions. And, yeah, so no, it's pretty good. And, you know, the answers. And you, like you said, it seemed like a much more relaxed situation where you could get in there and just kind of chill out with some designers and, you know, have a general, you know, conversation and just kind of sit back and, you know, just ask some cool questions.
Oh, one more thing that I forgot that was brought up. Someone asked, like, because they did say they are looking into conventions and what that's going to look like with, I think it was Toy Fair was moved to, like, right before New York Comic Con in the fall. And a bunch of us were asking, like, please don't stop doing things like this because, you know, so many of us can't travel to New York Comic Con or whatever. And they said they're not planning on stopping doing these, which in the FanFirst streams and all that.
Oh, that's good.
So hopefully they only get more comfortable with us after seeing us over and over and,
yeah,
you know, knowing that we're not going to be going out to try to, like, you know, get them with trick questions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Maybe I'll get fired from my job and then I can join you on these things. Okay. Yeah. We can only hope.
I mean, I'm sure we can work to get you fired.
Oh, you don't have to work. I'm doing a very good job of it on my own. So no, I'd love to join you on these things. I always, whenever you tell me that these things are coming up and you're going to be on them, I'm always a little jealous, and I always set a little reminder on my phone for when it's happening, so that I'm always kind of, you know, a little on the ball, kind of waiting for mm-hmm. some kind of news coming from you. Like a quick little message, like, holy shit, you guys aren't going to believe what they just mentioned.
Yeah. It's
like something like that. So, you know, always turn the notifications on when you're on these on these calls.
Well, and follow TFU_info on Twitter, because Ant did a great job as it was happening, tweeting out exactly, you know, what was going on. So, you know, that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Charles, do you have any comments?
I think, I mean, this sounds like it was a really comprehensive roundtable. I think everyone did a really good job asking interesting questions, and the team really, I think, responded with good answers. So it was, you know, it's nice to have it. It feels like it was a real conversation and not, you know, just like a, you know, the marketing, you know, public relations thing. So, I and nothing specific jumps out at me, I think all these questions were really interesting, and I'm glad you got to participate, and I'm glad you got to ask some good questions, and everyone else seems to have asked some really good questions too.
Well, I think that's all I got this week. Charles, what do you have to show us?
Okay, well, I have the first look at another Transformers Masterpiece figure. This is Masterpiece Movie MPM 13 Blackout. So this is the helicopter, the first Transformer from the live action Transformers movie. He comes with a little Scorponok minifigure, because he, you know, that was his partner in the movie, and it's a very detailed rendition of Movie Blackout. And in addition to just seeing the promotional images, we also have another video from Takara Tomy, from one of the designers showing off the prototypes and designs of the figure. So again, like you said, Jeremy, with the behind the scenes stuff, it looks like they're doing more of these videos now. And this looks, I mean, I'm definitely not the biggest fan of the live action movies, but I do remember, like, watching the first live action movie in 2007 and the very first sequence where this helicopter lands and, you know, something's going to happen, and then it immediately transforms into a Decepticon and starts blowing everything up. I thought that was a really well done opening sequence, like a good way to, you know, show how the Decepticons are a real threat. Now it's a, you know, I wish the rest of the movie had lived up to that opening sequence. But this gave me a soft spot for Blackout. I thought that was a really, you know, the design of the figure, is, you know, not quite as spiky as other live action Transformers, but it looks really well done. I like the design. I like how it looks in the toy. This Masterpiece figure looks really nice. It does come also with some blast effects too, so that's cool. And the helicopter mode looks really nice too. And the Scorponok figure is a bonus. I was not a fan of Scorponok in the movie just because it was kind of weird that you just have this random scorpion thing that doesn't really turn into anything. It's just a little drone, but whatever. But yeah, I like the look of this figure. It looks like in China, you can pre-order it from Hasbro China for 1,649 yuan, which is about $257. But we also have rumors from a Target listing that when it comes to the States, it might only be, have a retail price of $158. So I guess that's nice for us if that's true. That's still a significant expense for a Masterpiece figure, but I guess that's the trend now when bigger Masterpiece figures are getting bigger price tags. But overall, I think this is a good looking figure. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up, but for anyone who's a fan of the live action movies and is collecting the Masterpiece figures, this looks like a particularly well done one. So, Daryl, what are your thoughts on this new Masterpiece figure?
Well, I think it looks really good. I've never really been a fan of the movie line Masterpiece stuff just because it's the movie line and generally kind of shit. But I feel fairly similarly to you with regards to Blackout. That first scene really did, it opened up the franchise for me, and I really did enjoy that first scene. The tension built, as the helicopter landed and everyone was kind of freaking out as to, who's this helicopter and why are they just sitting there? And then, the noise, the transformation sound, which was, the old transformation sound, they kind of put it in there with the, some of the new, which we would come to call the Michael Bay-esque transformation noise, but it was that old original 80s kind of noise was in there. And then he transformed and just kind of wreaked havoc, which was great. This figure, it looks really good. There's a lot of great paint apps on it. You can see like they've painted wires and, a lot of great detail work on them. I feel fairly similarly to you about Scorponok. It's bullshit, but it goes with the figure, so whatever. The Blackout figure in general is just a big honking figure. He's huge, and he's got a really big presence to him, and that's something that I really like about this character. The helicopter, I know it's probably licensed. There's a shot of the box here. See if I can zoom in on anything, but they probably did the proper licensing for the helicopter mode. I think it looks fantastic. The one thing that I was going to bring up is that this design appears to have already been KO'd, which is something that Masterpiece stuff has had a problem with right from the beginning. There's a couple tweets that have come out since this was announced, they are already showing that, some of the MPM-13 mold, that the factory it got, that they got the designs for and to make this thing, they got those drawings early, and it's been modified, and now it's been sent off to a to be done in a KO factory. So this thing, it's ridiculous how fast some of this stuff happens. A little piece of KO corner here for people who generally will buy KOs of this thing. And you already said the price point that's looking to be for Blackout here. It's not as bad as some, some of those Beast Wars ones were really quite expensive, but, I don't know what to say. This, generally the KOs of these Masterpiece ones are they're not as good. They'll do in a pinch if you're trying to, fill out a cabinet or something like that. But, it's kind of disheartening when, the original figure isn't even out and they're already, they're already getting produced by a KO company. So, yeah, I think the figure looks great. People who collect the movie line should be really excited about this. I probably won't get it because it would literally be the one movie figure that I have in the Masterpiece line. It just wouldn't fit in with the aesthetic of my collection. But I think it looks really awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, that's really a shame about the knockoff already in production. That's really, yeah. And I mean, I can see them making like coming in at like a much lower price point and taking some business here. So if you are looking at this figure, I would urge you to get the Hasbro/Takara figure. Don't support the knockoff figure for this one. So, but yeah. Jeremy, what do you think of this?
I mean, it's interesting. I was just running through Google Translate on some of these images to see some of the Chinese, like what it was, 50 movable joints, 200 painted details. They used the CAD images from the 2007 movie. Oh, that's really interesting. And you can tell the detail on this is fantastic. I can't think of that scene in the movie without, you know, the whole cutting the hard line bit, which is a physical line in the room that they're in to try to stop the, you know, the theft of the data.
Yeah.
And the ridiculousness of that whole part. But, you know, it was funny. But yeah, that was just such a great introduction. And, you know, the hologram of the pilot, which I thought was great. And then just the destruction. I thought that was, like you said, a really good introduction to, you know, the threat of the Decepticons. And this looks, I mean, just like he did on the screen, it's fantastic looking. If a bit devoid of color, but that's kind of what you get from these, you know, movie figures, and it is a military vehicle. But one question I have is the weapon he has with the spinning blades. Where exactly on the helicopter is that supposed to be from?
Isn't that his not, tail rotor?
No, his tail rotor is four blades.
Huh.
This thing has six. So, I mean, you know, I get it's a weapon and stuff, but it's like, where is it supposed to be, like a smaller version of his, you know, main chopper blades, which are folded behind him like a cape? I don't know.
It's the the blades fold behind him, but that's the centerpiece of the rotor. And that comes right out as a separate weapon.
So he just has hidden blades in there. I don't know. That was just something that stood out to me.
Don't think too much about it, Jeremy.
Yeah, because he also has that centerpiece of the rotor right above his head.
Charles, he's starting to figure it out. Cut the hard line.
Yeah. Anyway, I think this looks good. I really like how the blast effects work with it. In addition to just, like, you know, looking really good on the guns, they do add a little bit of splash of color that helps. I can't believe it's like 15 years since the movie came out this year. And so, you know, I'm expecting we're going to be getting more of these 07 movie figures. But this is a good one to start with. And I think it looks great.
All right. Well, that's all our toy topics. So we will move on to trips to the store. This is where we show off the cool Transformer stuff we got this week. We do this as a video so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition on our YouTube channel. But we'll have the audio right here in the show so you can keep listening as we describe everything we got in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
All right, let's get into what we got this week. And we're going to start it off with Daryl.
All right. Once again, I start first because I don't have anything really new, except I do have the Beast Wars annual that came out this week. This is cover A. I do not recall who did it, but Beast Wars annual. I think all the lines are getting an annual at this point. It's another book to put in the to kind of cram into the year. Just to kind of fill it out, but I got that. I did grab a couple of my figures to show just, because I didn't have anything new. And these are some of my bigger ones. So, you'll have to bear with me while I make these, make you all jealous. This is a Canadian box, G1 Jazz. And so this is, Canadian box G1 Jazz. This is price there. I don't know what that says. What does that say on it? I don't know what that is. It's from a store called Consumers Distributing. It does no longer exist. So G1 Jazz looks pretty cool. Very nice looking box. This is Canadian boxed G1 Prowl. Another very good looking figure in its box.
Are those original sticker, or did you kind of get the boxes after the figures?
They came with their boxes. I provided the bubbles for the inside. Okay. So they're Repro bubbles. Just makes them look so much better, you know?
Yeah.
The theme here, the theme is Canadian boxes. This is a Canadian boxed Gnaw. The Canadian box of Gnaw is actually kind of hard to find. I'm pretty happy to have this. This is a Toys R Us one. $15.97 this guy cost. Fringolo. That's the French word or French name for Gnaw. Fringolo.
I would guess you're mispronouncing that, maybe.
Well, you don't think my French is any good?
I don't know. I mean, you're Canadian. It's got to be better than mine.
Yeah.
It's Fringalo. Fringalo.
I mean, good enough for me. I took Latin as my foreign language.
Yeah. This is another Autobot G1 box, Canadian box G1 Blaster. This is one that came like this, and the blaster inside is actually still sealed on the bubble that it came in. That it's so nice. This is brand new. The box has been beaten to death, but it is still actually brand new inside. This is a nice looking one. If I ever did find a new box for it, I'd swap it out. But it is brand new inside. This is a Zellers sticker. So Zellers is another fine Canadian establishment that is no longer around. $24.99 for Blaster. And last one that I pulled for tonight. This is the last Canadian box that I pulled. I have more. I have actually a few more. And this is Soundwave. So Soundwave, a lot of boxed Soundwaves, they're missing this little white cardboard piece that sits over top of the styrofoam in the box there, underneath the window. Mine has it. So there you go. I'm pretty happy to have that. This box here is obviously was probably used as a present for somebody. So it's got some rips up here or whatnot. Again, if I could find a new box for this, I'd be happy to replace it. So Soundwave's French name is Radar.
Yeah. Is that styrofoam original, like from the 80s, or is it reproduced?
Oh, yeah. 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 It's all original stuff. Yeah. So there's no repro on here at all. He's original. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all know that styrofoam won't break down. It's from the 80s.
No. Not for a few hundred years. And that's it. That's the old is new stuff I brought. I just grabbed it from up there. I was looking for something, and I was like, I'll just grab these again. Paid enough for them. I should be allowed to show them off more than once. But that's it.
Like your thrilling 30 Metroplex.
I have not shown it off for a number of years now. It's due.
If we ever need a co-host, we'll just sit in.
Yep. Well, I have a toy that I ordered from Best Buy, because they happen to have some Transformers in stock, and I had some Best Buy bonus points I could use up. And I got me a Studio Series Wheeljack from the Bumblebee movie.
Nice. So, cool.
There he
Canadian
is.
Canadian box?
It's not a Canadian box. So I have not opened it yet, but I did like the look of this Wheeljack from the Bumblebee movie, from Cybertron Wheeljack, so picked it up, and this is Studio Series 81.
So cool. I mean, you can't say that you never bought a movie line figure now.
I cannot.
You just happened to buy them from you bought them from the best part of the you know, the best live action movie. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay, Jeremy, we're coming back to you because I think you've got some more awesome stuff to show us from some continuing from last week.
Yeah, I mentioned last week that Hasbro surprised those of us that got the some of the promotional figures with a second box, and I had FedEx had an issue delaying mine, and it came the day after we recorded last week, which means I have, you know, more things to show off when I wasn't going to have anything. So I think, Daryl, you said that these completed the first wave of Legacy with what I got.
I think so.
So I'm going to start off. I haven't opened two of these because I've been kind of busy, but you got Legacy Prime Universe RC. So,
nice.
I think I've heard not so good things about this figure. I don't know. We'll have to see. The alt mode does look great on the pictures. I think the robot mode looks great too. I just, if she can stand up and be stable standing up, I call that a win, because with any figure that I've had that has been a motorcycle like this, the legs have always been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, I remember the, what was it? There was an RC back in like the early 2000s that was a motorcycle. It was before the live action movies even, and it was almost impossible to stand up. So this one, from the picture, it looks like the feet will hold her up, and the motorcycle even has a little kickstand. So hopefully it'll, you know, be able to stand in both modes.
I think that was Energon RC from the Unicron trilogy.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we were all just excited to get an RC, period, mm-hmm. at that point. Next thing I had is G1 Skids from the Legacy line. Really dark in that box. But this one looks really, really G1-ified in the looks. And I have never had a Skids before, so I'm excited to open them up and see. It's very much the boxy 80s car.
Mm-hmm.
So he also comes with the little Energon weapon thing. So we'll see how that works. And yeah, I'm looking forward to checking him out. And then the one I did open, because I was very curious about this figure, and I really like it a lot, is Prime Universe Bulkhead. The G1-ified Bulkhead that's really boxy and stuff. The transformation was very frustrating at times, but after having gone back and forth a couple times, it's just that initial figuring things out and trying to interpret the directions when you get stuck. That was just frustrating. But now I got it and it makes a lot of sense. Very kind of ingenious ways of doing a few things I thought was interesting. He's got those wheels on the back are fake. They don't do anything. They move from position to position in the transformation, but they are not, they're basically like spare tires in the alt mode. So I like what they did here with the weapon. Essentially, it's a ball that opens up. I can do it. The joints are very tight. Well, you'll have to trust me on this. This thing is not opening up. I don't know. But essentially, the ball opens up.
This is 8 and up, right? These are 8 and up?
Yeah.
Okay.
So essentially, you can see the seam there. It opens up, and there's a thing for him to hold, and then it closes around his hand. But I really like it. I was thinking that basically it was going to be a shell former with this backpack here, and it's not. This essentially just goes on and covers the bed of the truck, and the truck offers weapon storage. So it's, you know, it's really neat what they did here. I think it got a lot of flack when the initial pictures came out, but having it in hand, it is a really good figure. You know, you do have the accurate head there to the Prime show, but the boxiness, there might be some people that still have a problem with it, but I think it's fine. He's still a bulky military vehicle, and they have the mace weapon. So that's really all I need in the Bulkhead, is him to be green, bulky, have the right head, and have the mace. So thanks to Hasbro for sending those over. It was really unexpected, and I'm excited to see this, because I wasn't really expecting to pick up any of these three I showed off today.
Cool.
Very cool.
Okay, well, that will do it for this week's Trips to the Store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
We're back from our trips to the store, and that will do it for this episode of Transmissions. As always, at the end, we give a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrions. So thank you once again to John4x11good and DemonTech82. We really appreciate your support. And thanks everyone out there for listening and supporting the show. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool Transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our Transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.